Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the CF Podcast is a little bit different than what we've ever done here before at Cyclone Fanatic. This is the new and improved, I hope so, without Adam Gray edition of On the Trail. And I'm going to turn this into a little bit of an interview series, hopefully be able to do an interview every single week with someone pertaining to Iowa State recruiting, whether it's men's basketball, football, maybe get some women's basketball sometime later on in the year. I want to be able to bring on guys and or bring on people that play a key role in the recruiting efforts at Iowa State, as well as people that are possibly commits, maybe some recruits that are planning to make some decisions in the near future, and maybe some staff people at Iowa State and stuff along those lines. And that's really kind of what my vision is for this new version of the On the Trail podcast, and what I'm kind of hoping for it to be moving forward. Right now my plan is to kind of try and work my way through the Iowa State football commit list here as we go through the summer and leading up into the fall months and the football season, and then maybe, you know, at some point we'll mix in some other stuff as well. Today's episode of the podcast and the first of my series of interviews with the Iowa State football commits is with Iowa State quarterback commit Rial Mitchell. Mitchell, a 5'10" quarterback from California, rated as the number 24 dual threat quarterback in the country by 247 Composite. Had a really nice weekend this past weekend down at the Elite 11 finals in Los Angeles. Mitchell entered the competition as the second lowest rated player in the group, headlined, you know, by the number one player in the country, Trevor Lawrence. Justin Fields, a Penn State commit, was there, and pretty much all of the top quarterbacks from across the country were there at Redondo High School in Los Angeles going through that Elite 11 competition. And it sounds like Rial Mitchell put up a really nice showing. He did not make the final Elite 11 or advance to the next stage of the opening camps, but he did turn some heads, and it seemed like he created a pretty nice little buzz for himself on Twitter over the last several days. One key stat was he went 15 of 19 with 5 touchdowns during the 7-on-7 portion of the camp on Sunday. That was the last day, and he was, from all the videos that I saw and from all the stuff that I read, it looked as though he was as impressive as just about anybody else at the camp when it came to being able to throw on the run and showing off his athleticism compared to all the other guys. And it sounds like if he maybe was just a little bit taller, you know, only 5'10", 5'11", he might be up in that upper echelon of quarterback recruits, and that might be what's really keeping him from reaching that next level as a, you know, maybe a four-star level recruit. But nonetheless, he's a guy that Iowa State's going to be, or is very excited about bringing in, and he's someone that comes in with a great deal of talent. In this interview, we touch on how he started out playing the game of football, when he really knew that this is what he wanted to do in college. We talk about his track career, and we talk about what he is hoping to bring to Iowa State and what he has seen from Iowa State so far during the recruiting process that made him want to make his pledge to the Cyclones. So I hope you guys enjoy my interview with Rial Mitchell. Of course, we talk a little bit about the Elite 11 later towards the end, but we did record this last Thursday, so we didn't really know you know, how he was going to do, obviously. So he gave me what some of his goals were and stuff like that, what it meant to be invited to that. And I hope you guys are able to enjoy this. And I think that Rial was very, very insightful. So without much further ado, here's my interview with Iowa State quarterback commit Rial Mitchell. We're joined now by Iowa State football commit Rial Mitchell, quarterback from California. How's it going, man?
I'm doing good, doing good.
Thanks for joining me here on the Trail podcast presented by Cyclone Fanatic. I guess the first thing I wanted to actually ask you about is, are you going to be watching the finals tonight? We're recording this on Thursday before game one. And do you have any kind of prediction for what's going to happen?
You know what? I'm about to do this Elite 11 this weekend. So hopefully, you know, all the quarterbacks will be watching it. But, you know, I got to go for my Cavs.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I hope that I hope LeBron can pull it out, but I'm a little bit scared about the Warriors though.
There you go.
All right, so I guess the the first football thing I really wanted to talk to you about is, you know, when did you first start playing football, and you know, how'd you kind of get your start in the game?
As I can recall, I've been playing football ever since, you know, I can recall. So about four, you know, when we had flag football, tackle age seven, which is, you know, the average age. And then I've been playing quarterback ever since I've been playing as well.
Did you play any other sports growing up, and do you play any other sports now still?
Yeah, I ran track growing up, and I still do. I was fortunate enough to be the fastest in the nation at the youth levels as far as going to the Junior Olympics and winning gold there. And then in high school, I've been the fastest in my grade in the state.
Wow. So, I mean, obviously, that probably made the decision between focusing on football or focusing on track a pretty tough one. How'd you decide that you wanted to be a football player and maybe not a star track runner or something like that?
Yeah, you would think that, right? It'd be a tough decision, but no, I always loved football, and track was always a means to an end. So it benefited me on the football field, and, you know, it's my mom's passion is track, since she ran at the University of Nebraska. So it was just cool, you know, kind of running for her and then bettering myself.
For sure. When was it that I guess you knew, not that you were good at football, but that you were good enough to maybe play at the college level, and that was something that you really wanted to do and not just play football for fun anymore?
Knew I was good enough. Probably recently, but I was always a college football junkie, and my dad and I, every Saturday and, you know, sometimes Friday, depending on the games, would always be watching down or sitting down watching college football. And so I just wanted to be around it, because I thought it was the greatest thing, and the atmosphere is amazing. So just being able to, you know, make that step to the next level, I'm really fortunate and I'm blessed.
Who was the first school to offer you, and the first one to really, I guess, kind of kick off your recruiting process?
Cal Poly St. Louis Obispo was the first school to offer me, although I don't think it's like an FBS school. But the first FBS school would be Utah over there in the Pac-12. So I guess that would be the first school to kind of kick off my recruitment.
Was there something that that really caught their eyes? Like, did you go to a camp or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't. My offensive coordinator was good friends with their offensive coordinator, and, you know, he really sat down and they both broke down my film, and they came out to see me practice. And then the offensive coordinator really just liked me a lot and wanted to give me a chance, and he went ahead and offered me.
What do you remember about the first time you talked with the coaches at Iowa State? Was it in a text message, or did you see them somewhere? Or, you know, how did that kind of that connection start to grow, I guess?
Coach, it might have been, I think it was Coach Hoffer that DM'd me on Twitter. Like, when I was at track practice, I remember just looking at my phone, and I got the DM, and I was obviously from where he's from. I saw Iowa State. So it started off with DMs, and then one of my coaches' information went ahead and gave that over, and then they FaceTimed me probably a couple weeks after that initial contact, and they offered me on FaceTime.
What were your kind of thoughts when you got that offer?
First, I had never been offered through a FaceTime. I think that was my 10th offer, so I was just – that was unique in itself. And then they actually gave me like a virtual like tour of the facility, so I thought that was awesome. I'm a really big type of facilities guy and Nike guy, so that's a couple checks off my checklist right off the back. So yeah, I was really happy and kind of blown away with what they had, because I didn't really know much about them.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. Being from California, when you see, you know, coach from Iowa State's reaching out to you, they want to offer you, what's the first thing that goes through your mind when you think of Iowa State?
Not too much. I know, but every school that's offered me, I've always tried to, you know, do my part and look into the school and find out as much as I can. So, you know, coming from Southern California, when you hear about Iowa, a lot of people don't know where that is. and stuff like that. So it's definitely it's an interesting thing. And when I did look into it, you know, I was, like I said a second ago, I was really blown away by what I found out and the interesting things about it. And so I was sold on that.
Have you had anybody maybe, you know, ask you any funny questions about Iowa or anything like that since you committed?
Funny questions. The main one would be like, where is that? I think that's pretty funny. And then actually my best friend at the high school I'm at, St. John Bosco, he lived in Iowa for I think like 9 years. And so it was just funny always growing up, like kind of like bagging on Iowa in a way, like joking with him, and then soon committing there and being like, okay, yeah, Iowa's kind of awesome. So it's kind of funny.
When you went on your visit to Ames, was it what you expected it to be? I mean, obviously, like you said, you kind of had an idea what you were going to see, but you know, even then, did it surprise you at all, or was it pretty much what you expected it to be?
Well, I was fortunate enough to go on a couple college visits prior to that, so I wasn't really like blown away. But I had definitely done my research and looked at a whole bunch of videos and stuff, so I knew what a lot of the stuff looked like. And so I was just going to make sure, you know, everything matched what I saw on the internet, and it did, so I was happy to see that.
What do you think of Ames just as a town and not even as much about the football or the campus?
Yeah. I thought it was a nice enclosed town, and I think that's kind of like a benefit I wanted, was a college town and college setting. You know, you don't want to get that out here in California because there's so many teams. So that's kind of what I was looking for. So, yeah, I really love how it is a college, like, town environment.
I read in a story about you that you took over as your team's starting quarterback in a section championship game. Isn't that right?
Yep. It was our division championship against Corona Centennial, which is a highly ranked team year in and year out.
What was that like being, you know, just a sophomore and all of a sudden you're thrust into a position like that and obviously in a pretty high pressure situation?
Yeah, you know what? Not too bad. I've always prepared like I was a starter. Even when I was a freshman, Josh Rosen, the quarterback at UCLA, was there. I always, you know, I was thinking I was like a fourth string or something like that. But yeah, I was always preparing like I would be the starter, and you always got to have that mentality. So when it happened, I wasn't really too shocked. I know our starting quarterback has been banged up before that. So I was just ready to go out there and, you know, being out there, just gaining the trust of your team and some of the kids that are in your level or are on your grade. So then, like now, they all have my respect and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was a cool opportunity, and I try to take advantage of it.
What's it like seeing Josh Rosen have so much success now at UCLA, you know, after, like you said, he was there your freshman year?
Oh, it's awesome. I love Josh. He was fortunate enough to also be an Elite 11 quarterback. But, yeah, he's awesome, and I knew he was going to be successful. He's a great guy and a really smart guy, so I was just fortunate enough to try to learn as much from him as I could.
I know one of the first things after you committed or, you know, around that time, one of the things that a lot of Iowa State fans would bring up to me was your run against St. Xavier last year, the 98-yarder. What do you remember about that play? I mean, I know that, you know, both teams obviously pretty highly ranked. I think it was on national TV, wasn't it? And then you bust off a big play like that early in the game.
You know, it's funny. The previous year before that, the first play of my sophomore, like, varsity career, I took off for, I believe it was like 76 yards. So I wasn't like too surprised something like that was going to happen again. And I kind of always like try to envision, you know, weeks prior to the game and the night before the game, what I would do. And I kind of envisioned something to that sort. So I just read the defensive end closing down on a running back and eventually pulled it and just tried to go as fast as I could and went for 98.
And then you guys were able to cap the season winning a state championship. I think Max Preps had you guys as the number two high school team in the country at the end of the season. What was that like? And, you know, how did it feel to win a state championship?
You know, you would think it'd be awesome, and it was. But it was kind of disappointing at the same time because I really wanted to be national champions. And, you know, we unfortunately lost to Bishop Gorman earlier in our season. If if we would have pulled that game off, he definitely would have been national champions. But, you know, I, like I said, I was fortunate to be in the situation I am in today, and I was in a couple months ago. But at Bosco, we really have high standards. And so although being number two is amazing, you know, not a lot of people get to obtain that goal. We're really looking to be number one, and that's something we're looking forward to this year.
When you made the decision to commit and you you know, announced your decision, what was it that set Iowa State apart from the other schools that you were choosing from and ultimately made it the one that you wanted to go to?
Yeah, I would definitely say the relationships established throughout Iowa State's coaching staff compared to others. Not that the others weren't, you know, great and they didn't have great coaches, but just the volume of coaches that, you know, were interested in me at Iowa State, that being pretty much the whole staff and really building relationships with the whole staff before I committed, compared to some other schools where maybe I only built relationships with one or two coaches. Where Iowa State, it was pretty much the whole staff, so definitely relationships.
Have you been part of trying to help the recruiting now, too, and getting after some guys?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Although I know Sterling committed before me, we knew we were going to go to Iowa State probably weeks before he committed. But, yeah, I've been, you know, sent some lists to, you know, go and contact some guys. So, yeah, I'm enjoying doing that, too.
What's how's your relationship with Sterling growing, I guess, since both of you guys committed? And obviously people would like to be able to see you guys have some success together on the field in the future.
Yeah, Sterling and I, we're really good friends right now. We're trying to visit Ames soon together, and then we're probably going to be roommates together as we both plan on enrolling early. So, yeah, we're really close. I'm looking forward to building some on-field chemistry with him.
When do you plan to take your official visit? Do you know yet?
Yeah, I plan on taking it for the Cyhawk game. So, what was it, September 9th?
Yep.
Yeah, so that weekend.
What do you know about the Cyhawk rivalry?
A good little bit. Can't give you definite, you know, win to loss ratios mm-hmm. right now off the top of my head, but I know I've watched the past couple. But I really try to just focus on games where this new coaching staff is in effect. So I didn't try to watch too many older games, but yeah, I know it's a really heated rivalry, and especially, you know, being two universities with the in-state rivalry, that's huge. And I definitely want to, you know, swing the toll in Iowa State's favor.
You're going to, like you've mentioned a couple times, you'll be at the Elite 11 finals this weekend. What's the process been like of getting to that? And then what are some of your goals for the weekend?
It's pretty surreal. I know I've watched the past, I think, 8 documented, like, Elite 11 documentaries. And I was just really wanting to, you know, have that opportunity. And being presented it, I'm really trying to take advantage of it. But it's been a really cool and exciting process. And this weekend, we're starting on Friday, going through Sunday. It's going to be really competitive, and that's why I'm looking forward to being in that type of atmosphere. And, you know, raising my level of play even higher than what it is. And just, yeah, competing and trying to, you know, learn as much as I can from the coaching staff there.
I know I've seen on those documentaries that they have that one day where they'll wake everybody up at like 4:30 in the morning. Are you prepared for that? You think you can handle it?
Oh, yeah, I'm really prepared. Excited. I'm hoping it's not Saturday morning, though, which it probably will be. Maybe it's either that or Friday night. Early in the morning. So I have an SAT to take.
Oh, man.
early that morning. So I'll go take it. It's in the nearby high school. And then I'll come back. So hopefully I'm not missing that. But, yeah, hopefully I can experience it.
I guess 4 or 5 years from now, for you to look back on your Iowa State career and call it a success, what would you say needs to happen?
Definitely win a Big 12 championship. I plan on winning the Heisman. So that would be nice to go along with that. But just establishing a winning tradition there at Iowa State.
And then I've got 5 questions here that aren't really football related that I'll just kind of fly through here real quick. My first one is, are you a 2K or a Madden guy?
Probably Madden.
Who's your team then?
Carolina Panthers.
Just you, you're a Cam Newton guy?
Yeah, he's a beast. So definitely got to play with him.
What's your favorite movie?
Oh, say again?
What's your favorite movie?
Movie? You know what? Might just be King Arthur. I saw a couple weeks ago. I think that was an awesome movie.
For sure. What kind of music do you like, and who are some of the artists that you're listening to right now?
Yeah, I'm a rap guy. Drake is my favorite artist, which would really be, you know, debated here in SoCal and probably everywhere. But yeah, Drake. And then I do like R&B, like Bryson Tiller and guys like that.
For sure. Yeah, rap's my thing too. So we're along there. Finish this sentence. If I wasn't a football player, I'd be?
A physical therapist, which is what, you know, I plan on majoring in kinesiology and going to that field. So, yeah, a physical therapist.
Who is your favorite pro sports team growing up?
You know, probably the University of Alabama football, just because my dad's from Alabama and we kind of, that was our team who we would root for growing up. But as far as professionally and stuff like that, they don't really have a team because there is so many here. Yeah, so they don't really have a team like that growing up.
I guess I have one more. I'd be remiss if I don't ask about your mom being an American Gladiator. What's that like?
Yeah, it's cool. Definitely get asked periodically about her and what she's doing, stuff like that. But, you know, we don't really, that's not really like a conversation throughout the house, really. But, you know, it does come up periodically. And, yeah, I'm really fortunate to have a mom that's had success at such a high level, especially, you know, nationwide being known. So, yeah, I'm blessed to have that.
All right, man. Well, that's all the questions that I have for you. Thanks for joining me, and good luck on the SAT, and good luck at the Elite 11 Finals this weekend.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep. Have a good one, dude.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks again to Iowa State quarterback commit Rial Mitchell for joining me on this week's episode of On the Trail. We'll be back next week with another Iowa State football commit, hopefully, and then another part of our interview series here on the new and improved On the Trail podcast. If you have any comments or questions, make sure and put them on the Cyclone Fanatic forums or hit me up on Twitter. Or you can, if you enjoy our podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com, get onto iTunes, leave us a rating and review. That's what helps us get up into the top five on the iTunes charts. It helps us get that get that standing that helps us with our advertisers and stuff like that, and showing that, you know, we really have some people that are out there really supporting what we do here at CycloneFanatic.com. If you really like what we do here at Cyclone Fanatic, log on to onto CycloneFanatic.com, and you can become a patron on our Patreon page. It's right there on the home button on CycloneFanatic.com. So I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and everybody have a great rest of your week.